Well, let's turn to the Word of God once again. We're turning this time to Zechariah. So another of the minor prophets. Zechariah comes two books before Matthew. So you can usually find Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, quite a large section of the scriptures. So if you go back towards the beginning of your Bible from there, Zechariah and Malachi. We're turning to Zechariah then and to the 8th chapter. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, There shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If it be marvellous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvellous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them. They shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast. Neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one, against his neighbor. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall prosper, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their dew, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, As I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath, for all these are the things that I hate, saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, The fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore love the truth and peace. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, It shall yet come to pass that there shall come a people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Amen. We thank the Lord for this reading of his word. Let's bow our heads in prayer and ask the Lord's help as we consider the scriptures together. Eternal Father, again we come before thee this day and As we seek thy face, we pray that thou wilt help us. We recognize, Lord, that these things are written for our admonition because it is upon us that the ends of the world are come. And Father, we know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Lord, it is profitable to us. And we pray, Father, that as we read these things, that we might be encouraged, that the blessing of the Lord is with thy people through Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank thee that all peoples of the world, the Jews, the Gentiles, Lord, all peoples from all nations have salvation in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that we might fix our eyes upon him once again. Oh Lord, let us not be distracted by other thoughts and other doctrines, but let us see Jesus. And Father, we pray that thou wilt help us as we would seek to glorify thy name and to honor thee, to go forth and proclaim Jesus Christ, that all men may be drawn unto him. For he hath said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And Lord, we pray that thy hand would be upon us for good. O Lord, bless us, we pray thee. As we look around in these days and see so much of a declension, so much of a falling away from the truth which is in Jesus, Lord, let us not be overcome with grief, but Father, that we might look unto thee and know that it is thy desire to save souls through Jesus Christ, to exalt him. And Lord, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So bless us, we pray thee, and help us not just to understand what is being said here this morning, but to put into practice those exhortations of the scripture that we might proclaim before the world Jesus Christ and him crucified and the salvation which is wrought by him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to take a few verses here this morning to consider for a short time, beginning with verse 9 and going through to the end of verse 13. The reason for taking that section is because it begins there in verse 9 with the words of the Lord, "Let your hands be strong." And then at the end of verse 13, we read the words again, "Fear not, but let your hands be strong," which seems to frame this section together. And so we want to consider it for a short time this morning. Now let's just read these words again. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong. Ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day of that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast. Neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one, against his neighbour. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong." There's a prophetic portion of scripture, of course, and there are different interpretations of the prophecy of the chapter. But it is interesting that the chapter ends with these words in verse 23. "In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." 10 is a number of perfections, one of the perfect numbers, and it represents the whole gamut of peoples. And I would suggest to you that the skirt of the one who is a Jew, is the skirt of Jesus Christ himself. There are many allusions in the New Testament to prophecies from the Old Testament. And remember the woman who came with the issue of blood and touched the skirt of Jesus Christ, the hem of his garment, and was healed. There are so many of those kinds of things which just refer back to different portions of the scriptures. We looked at a psalm just recently, and there it speaks about how that he would still the waves. Remember the Lord Jesus upon the Sea of Galilee, who said, "Peace, be still," and the winds and the waves obeyed his voice. Those things, and remember what John says, that he supposed that if everything that Jesus did was recorded, the whole world would not contain the books. But these are particularly selected, that they might refer us back to the prophecies of the Old Testament. And Jesus Christ himself, on the road to Emmaus, as he walks with the disciples, begins with Moses and the prophets, and in all the scriptures, and expounded to them the things concerning himself. For the word of God is all about Jesus Christ. It is all pointing to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the seed. Jesus Christ is the salvation. Jesus Christ is Israel. He is the Prince with God. And everyone who is in Jesus Christ receives the blessings which God has promised to Jesus Christ, who is our head. He is the one who is our Saviour and our Mediator and our God. And so here again we find these things spoken. And speaking of Zion in verse 2, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. And the Lord, thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain." Do you remember in the book of Hebrews how that it speaks of Abraham and how he died in faith? And Sarah died in faith. And Enoch died in faith. And all of these from the very beginning died in faith. And those who speak of that faith and those who dwelt in that way, they proclaim this, that they sought for a city whose builder and maker is God. Remember, it says there in Hebrews that Abraham could have returned to his fatherland if that was what he desired. But the fatherland that he desired was not the fatherland that he came from. The fatherland was the land of the father, the land of the city whose builder and maker is God. And that city and that fatherland, all of these things we receive in Jesus Christ. Now the Lord here is speaking to the remnant of the people, or the residue of the people, we see in verse 11. "But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days." And we know that throughout the scripture there was always a remnant of the people who walked with the Lord. We know that Elijah, in those days when he stood up against the prophets and priests of Baal, he thought that he was the only one left in the country. He said to the Lord, I only am left. And the Lord said, "But I have yet 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal." There was a remnant in the country. Though the whole of the nation, it seemed, had turned away from God, God had a remnant in the country. There was a people who were his, and it's to them that God speaks. And nevertheless, they suffer also with the rest of the nation. Now, there are some significant words here later on in this portion in verse 19, and we'll come to look at them in a little more detail. But it speaks about the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, the fast of the tenth. And we will come just to consider those things. But the reason for the introduction in this way is that sometimes we can look at the Bible and read things and think about it historically or think about it prophetically, and it doesn't really touch our hearts. It doesn't really change us. It doesn't really cause us to consider, well, what am I doing with my life? What am I seeking? What am I doing for the Lord? How might I serve the Lord? How can these things come to pass with my interaction with the world? What is the Lord calling me to do? And in these verses, verses 9 to 13, there is exhortation. And there is exhortation for us. Not just simply for Israel in the days of the prophet Zechariah, but for us. These things are written for our admonition. That's what Paul tells us. That's what the Holy Ghost tells us. So I want to consider first of all with you the exhortation which is here. The exhortation. There is a practical service that we are to yield to the Lord. For in this ninth verse, the Lord says, "Let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets. Let your hands be strong." When we consider the hands, of course, we're thinking about the things which we can do, the works of our hands. The Lord will establish the works of our hands. That means that we should be doing something. And so often, Christianity, religion, which it can so easily become, that religion is something that we believe. It's something ethereal. It's something that we think about. It's something that we meditate upon. It is something which, well, it's just in the mind. It doesn't really touch our daily lives. It ought not to be that. It ought to be our daily lives. We are to be living in Jesus Christ. And our service is to be before the Lord. We're not to be giving eye service as men pleasers, we are told. But that whatsoever our hand findeth to do, do it with our might, as unto the Lord and not unto men. And all of these things refer to our actual living. So when we arise in the morning and hopefully we pray, as I've said before, pray. If you awake late and you don't have time to read the scripture and pray, then set the scripture aside and pray. Make sure you read the scripture during the day, but make sure prayer begins your day. Because it is that which focuses the mind upon the Lord, that we might go forth and live for Jesus Christ, that we might serve him with a whole heart, that we might put in the hours that we are contracted to do, that we might go the extra mile. If they ask you to go 1 mile, then go with them twain. That's what the scripture tells us. That's what Jesus Christ tells us. Let's live our lives unto the glory of God, that we may have a testimony before the world, that we are righteous. Let your hands be strong. A practical service. We are seeking to glorify God. We are seeking to exalt him among the heathen. And let us put our hands, therefore, to the plough, and let us work hard to the glory of his name. Secondly, it's a powerful service because it says, let your hands be strong. Let them be strong. Know that God is with you. Now, here the Lord says that there was a time when he was against them. And it says in verse 10, for before these days there was no hire for man nor any hire for beast. Neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. Now I set all men, every one against his neighbor. For I set all men, every one against his neighbor. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days. For the seed shall be prosperous. The vine shall give her fruit. The ground shall give her increase. The heavens shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all things. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. So it's a powerful service. God has promised to be with us. Now we're considering in the evening services the life of Saul the king, just at the moment from 1 Samuel. And he was a man who God promised to be with. And when the things came upon him, we'll see this tonight, but when the Spirit of God came upon him, he said, take every opportunity, God will be with you. And that's what the promise is, that God will be with us when we work, when we serve him, when we do what the Lord has called us to do, that God will be with us, that he will prosper us, that we will bring forth fruit, that the ground will give us increase, and the heavens shall give their due. So let's claim the promises before God, and let us serve, and let us work, and let us ask the Lord's blessing upon us, that we might be strengthened, and that we might see the work of God go on. It's a practical service. It is our life. It is a powerful service, because God has said, let your hands be strong. It is a prosperous service. You see there again in verse 12, for the seed shall be prosperous. Prosperous. We look around us in this day and say, well, how prosperous is the gospel? How many people are turning to Christ? Well, there are people turning to Christ. But perhaps we're not seeing it here. But why are we not seeing it here? Is there a lack of prayer? Is there a lack of passion? Is there a lack of service? Are our hands weak? Are our hands in our pockets? Are we expecting everybody else to do the work? There's that old saying, isn't there, in English, that all work flows to the willing horse. Is that a case? What is our passion? What is our prayer? How much time do we spend praying for the work of God in this place? There are many things, of course, which come to the mind of a pastor, which perhaps don't particularly come to the mind of those who sit in the pews. And of course, the future of a church lays upon my heart and upon my mind. I don't want to see the church diminish. I want to see it grow. I don't want to see people wandering off into the world. I want them to be challenged. I want you to walk with Christ. I want you to desire Christ. I want you to desire more and more of Christ and of his word. But here we have the promise of a prosperous service. The seed shall be prosperous. What is the seed? Well, of course, here we read it just as it's written, and we think about the seed which is sown in the ground. But in the spiritual sense, what is the seed? Is it not the seed of the sower, that Jesus Christ goes forth sowing seed, the Son of Man? But we also sow the seed of the gospel. The promise here is that the seed shall be prosperous. So let's come before the Lord and let's pray. Lord, make the seed prosperous. As we go and we give invitations, as we speak to people and tell them about Jesus Christ. Lord, your promise is that the seed will be prosperous. Prosper the seed. I don't want to be prosperous. I don't need riches. Riches are just a chain. But I want to see the seed of Jesus Christ coming forth and souls being saved. That's the prosperity that we need to see. And the promise is the seed shall be prosperous. And it's a possessive service also. We read again at the end of verse 12. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these. To possess all these. There is a possession. And of course, the possession belongs to the people of God. We possess heaven. We possess, as it were, Jesus Christ. Not that he is our servant, but we are his. But as he is ours, so we are his. We are one together. Whoso overcometh, Jesus said, will sit with me in my throne. And we read in that same book of Revelation that Jesus Christ sits with the Father in his throne. We are one in Christ Jesus. We possess all things. All things are yours. Whether life or death, all things are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. So we read in 1 Corinthians, a possessive service. What are the possessions that we have? Spiritually, ask yourself the question. What are the possessions that you have in Christ? What do you possess? Do you possess the presence of Christ? Do you possess the desire for Christ? Are you moved to meet together or to hear the word and to enjoy the word? And to spend time in fellowship with him. The exhortation, let your hands be strong. The seed shall be prosperous. You'll possess all things. But let's contemplate the encouragements next. Because here are great encouragements for us. We need encouragements, don't we? So often there are discouragements. There are so many who speak against the gospel. There are so many, especially in this day and age, with all of the different aspects of the media which are against Christianity and against Christians, and pick out all the things which they think they can use against Christianity, because they are against God. They have not rejected you, God says to Samuel, but they have rejected me. And because we are on the Lord's side, they reject us, and we feel downhearted and overcome. But let's just contemplate the encouragements. You see, here again, we see in verse 6 of this chapter, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvellous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvellous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them. And they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. It may be marvellous in our eyes to think that there's going to be a revival in this day, and that people are actually going to believe in Jesus Christ like once they did, even poor though that may have been. But that we should see revivals as this country has seen in the past. It may be marvellous in our eyes, but should it be marvellous in God's eyes? Has God lost any power to save whatsoever? Were men ever saved through being convinced by man's voice that they should turn to Christ? Were they not always saved by the grace of God, by the power of God, by God speaking to hearts and souls? And how different can it possibly be in this day and age to any other age when it is God who convinces people of the truth? Now, if it is God who convinces people of the truth, well then let's seek to God and say to him, Lord, save souls. Again, we are drawn back to prayer. That is the place of power. That is what we need, to pray, to seek the Lord's face, but not to leave our hands in our pockets, but to make our hands strong, believing that God is able to save to the uttermost all them that come unto him through Jesus Christ. The encouragements are here, but we read together earlier from Hosea, and there we saw more encouragements. And again, we find that these are very gospel orientated. For it's not the works of the law of the Old Testament which are spoken here, but it is coming to the Lord with words. In chapter 14 of Hosea, as we read it, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thy iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Words. What does that mean? What does that mean, take with you words? How do we use words as we return unto the Lord? Are words not our prayers? Are we not speaking to God using words? It's not the actions of offering sacrifices or of the works which we do, but the words that we utter. And sometimes we trust in our works. Sometimes we think that the works are those things that will deliver us, but it is the power of God that will deliver us. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. These are tremendous words. Remember those words of the publican in the temple? As the Pharisee says, I thank thee that I'm not like other men, that I tithe and so on, and I'm not like this publican. While the publican said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It reflects these words here. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. The calves of our lips, of course, are not like the calves of your leg. The calves of our lips are the sacrifices of our lips. They are praises. They are our worship. They are our thanksgiving. It goes on, Asher shall not save us. That's Babylon will not save us. We will not ride upon horses. It's not going to be the army that saves us. We will not say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. Idols won't save us. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as a dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread. His beauty shall be as the olive tree and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return and shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent or the remembrance as the margin has thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. The just shall walk in them. The just shall walk by faith. We are coming to Christ. We are believing in Christ. It is Christ who delivers us. It is Christ who revives us. And perhaps this morning we're not people who pray, because we are backslidden, because we are taken in by the things of the world. And the things of the world have really affected us so much that we're not even seeing the power of God or calling upon the power of God. But then return to him, because he will restore us. He receives the backslider. Let's turn away from the works of our hands. Let's turn away from thinking that what we can do something to turn around our fortunes. Many churches have done it. And it seems to have turned around their fortunes.
because they have great congregations. But is the country better for it?
Has righteousness taken hold of the heart of the people who gather in these mega churches? Do we find amongst the heathen such an awe that the hundreds or the thousands that come to some of these great churches, that every one of them doesn't take a day off in the year, doesn't knock off early when they get the chance, doesn't sit at their desk and dream, but works hard, that they are the very best people that you can possibly employ, that their testimony is always one of righteousness and holiness, that they pay their taxes, that they don't get people and pay them in cash because it's a little bit cheaper? Has righteousness come in because of the power of the drawing of people in for the music or for the ambience? We need righteousness. We need to turn to the Lord. It is the Lord who is able to revive us. It is the Lord who will save souls. When we contemplate these encouragements, then, we see here a prosperous seed. We've mentioned it, so our time is going fast, and we're going to go back to it. But the prosperous seed of the gospel, a productive vine, it says, the vine shall give her fruit. Now we read in the New Testament of the seed which is the word of God, it shall be prosperous. The vine, I am the vine, Jesus says, and ye are the branches. Every branch that abideth in me shall bring forth fruit. The vine shall give her fruit. The ground shall give her increase. Remember again the parable of the sower and how the seed is spread, and some upon the stony ground, some upon the wayside, some upon amongst the thorns and the thistles, but some upon the good ground. And God has promised that the ground shall give her increase, and God is able to change the ground. God can change the ground. We may go out today and leaflet the whole area. We may knock on every door and speak to every person, and those people could be hard. They may say to us, we don't want to hear, we don't want to know. Just keep your literature to yourself. Because the ground is hard, it needs to be broken up. We can't break it up, but God can break it up. That's why we need to pray that God will break up the fallow ground, that we might go forth and spread the seed, and the seed will be prosperous, and the ground will give its increase. And it says, and the heavens shall give their dew, because it is God, ultimately, who blesses the seed and causes it to bring forth fruit unto salvation. But here are the encouragements, that God will bless us, that God will be with us. And again, thinking of those words in Hosea, I will be as the dew, near the heavens shall give their due. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon, because the ground in Lebanon is so good that it brings forth an increase. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine, and the scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. The blessings of God. These are the encouragements which God gives to us. Pray, seek my face, return unto me, call upon my name. Go forth, let your hands be strong, and let's see the mighty power of God, what God is able to do and has promised to do. And let us be compelled by an expectation. In verse 13, we read these words, and it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. Ye shall be a blessing. You know, in days of revival, that's exactly what happened. That the church, which, well, it was there. If we just take the Welsh revival of 1904, the church was there. There were churches across Wales. But it was a few people went. When revival began, people began to prostrate themselves before the Lord. They were afraid to walk from their home to the church in case they died on the way. And the church became a blessing. The people of God became a blessing. They were salt.
How might I be saved?
Oh, that the people of this land once again would seek unto every person who knows the Lord and say, what must I do to be saved? Fear not, but let your hands be strong. We said we would return to those words at the end of this chapter, the fasts in verse 19. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore love the truth and peace. You turn back to Jeremiah in chapter 52. We have some insight into the fasts and what fasts these were. Jeremiah 52. Zedekiah was king when the captivity began and the Assyrians came, were taking Judah into captivity. And in chapter 52 it says, Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libnah. He did that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord, it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, till he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his army, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and built forts against it round about. So the city was besieged unto the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And in the fourth month, in the ninth day of the month, the famine was sore in the city, so that there was no bread for the people of the land. Then the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled, and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were by the city round about, and they went by the way of the plain. And so these fasts were concerning the fall of Jerusalem. And the Lord says on another occasion, which I didn't mark down, he says, when you fasted in these fasts, did you at all unto me? Was it just a lamentation that judgment had come upon you? Or did you turn to me and pray for a restoration, for a revival? There was one man prayed for a restoration and a revival, didn't he? That was Daniel. Daniel, having read Jeremiah, discovered that it was to be for 70 years and began to pray to God that the 70 years were up. It was time that they should return. And his confession was set before the Lord in Daniel chapter 9. And he spoke about the sins of his fathers, and he spoke about his own sins. And he repented. He repented for the nation, then he repented for himself. And God heard his prayer. He was a man of prayer, like Samuel that we have considered. He was a man who sought the Lord. And God revived. And God began right then to take the people back. And that's what's being referred to here. Those fasts. But what does it say? The fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore love the truth and peace. For the curse is past, and the blessing is upon us. Do we not long to see these days once again in this country? That it shall come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Verse 22, yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Of all languages of the nations. As there is a
a personal blessing for us here. For all the languages of the nations are in this nation, in this day and age. But there is only one race before God. We are of the race of Adam. We are fallen men and women. And for salvation, we need to be of the race of Jesus Christ. One family, one people, one nation, with the wall of partition broken down, dwelling in the city whose builder and maker is God. Oh, let us seek him. Let us repent ourselves of our iniquities and of our sins. Let us burn the idols. Let us turn unto the Lord with all our hearts, and let us see what God is able to do. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word, and we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst apply it to our hearts. Lord, that we might know that thou art a mighty God, that we might see with our eyes in this day the salvation of the Lord. And Father, we pray that thou would sanctify us, that we might know thee and walk with thee as Samuel of old, as Daniel, that we might seek thy face. Bless us then, we pray thee, and help these things to ring on in our minds, for Jesus' sake. Amen.